Does everyone know what time it is? It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and her friends.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, Kylo Ren's third favorite theme park podcast. I'm here this week with a very special guest, very dear friend of mine, my favorite stormtrooper, nicest guy I've ever met, at least in the top three of nicest people I've ever met, Cameron Kagi. Welcome.
Hey, what an intro. Oh, man, I got to live up to that now. Oh, no, thank you.
You're going to have to agree with everything I say now. You're like, can't disagree.
I can do that. I can do that.
Yes. He is trained well. So Cameron is a big Star Wars fan. You probably know more about Galaxy's Edge than anybody I've met, just out of experiencing it, because you've gone a lot.
With how often I would go, that I would say I do know more than the average Joe.
Yes. How many times did you go before the closing?
I went on Smuggler's Run, the attraction. I've been on it 120 times. Rise, I've only done 11 times.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I've been on it 4 times. Expert.
Well, we'd get into this habit, my buddy Nico and I, we'd get into this habit of like, hey, do you want to go see Magic Happens? Yeah, I want to go see Magic Happens. Okay, well, let's meet up and get boarding passes. And so it was like 2 or 3 times a week. We'd just meet up, get the boarding passes, watch Magic Happens, go ride Rise. It was great.
Especially if you can get an early time, it's really good.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a walk-on.
Yeah. The first time I went, I think we were like 11, and we got there at 8. So that we were able to leave by 1. So it was the perfect day.
Oh, love that.
Oh, and then one time, somebody I know, I was going to say Jenny. Jenny was able to get 2 pass. So she booked for a bunch of people who had to leave, and they had 2 separate times. And she okay, this is just shows I'm not as good of a person as she is. She was like, let's give. So it was 2 people booked and 2 people booked. And it was for 2, like they're an hour apart. And she's like, let's give the second time away and do a magical moment. And I said, or we could ride the ride twice in 1 day. And guess who won? It was me.
Oh, I mean, you ride that ride the very first time. You're just like, what did I just experience? And I mean, you still get that feeling, you know, it's been 10 times for me, 11 times for me. And then I'm like, it's just so good.
I will say going on it twice on 1 day, I felt more satisfied because it wasn't that feeling of like, I need to catch every single thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I actually got to relax a little more the second time. And I'm like, if I look to the right the whole time, that's fine because I went on it earlier today.
It's very true. Not deer caught in the headlights. You're like, what's going on? What's going on? Absolutely.
So I would highly recommend that to anybody. If you have, bring a lot of people with you, trick them into leaving, and then use all their time.
I mean, you said it yourself. Like, if you get one of those early boarding parties, that is sort of a good indication that you are going to get on. So like I've done it where I was with a group of about 8 people, and by the time we actually got to ride the attraction, there were only 4 of us. So and then after that time we got stuck in the queue. So once they all left, there were only 2 of us left. So my buddy and I, we just hopped back in line. By then, the park was closing because, like, we got such a late boarding party. So by then, half our crew were gone anyway.
I think we're just smart, and we just take advantage of bad situations.
Hey, you know, it's not a bad thing. Hondo would be pleased.
Hondo would be very proud. So this episode, I haven't said it yet, it's Galaxy's Edge Deep Cut. So this is going to be the nitty-gritty a lot of things you want to know about Galaxy's Edge, Easter eggs. This is not for the casual fan. This is for the hardcore fan. And even if you're not a Star Wars fan, but you're a Disney fan, this will help you next time you go to see things that you didn't see before. That's the aim.
Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to bring friends into Galaxy's Edge for their first time, not being even a casual Star Wars fan, just having never seen the movies or anything like that. And after they leave Galaxy's Edge and just the immersion and that experience that Disney created, they walk out and be like, I need to watch these movies. I already have a Disney bound planned. I got a Disney bound as Chewbacca or Rey. You know, they just fall in love with the area. And it's the same feeling we got when Cars Land came out. But Yeah, Galaxy's Edge, there's so much for a lot of people there.
I almost wonder what it'd be like to go as someone who's not familiar at all. Like, there's almost an enjoyment that if, as someone who's very familiar, there's things like, oh, I wish they had done this. I wish they had done this. I wish. So if you don't know anything, is just all that gone and like, this is all great. I don't know who any of these people are. So Vi is no different than Chewbacca.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
So I'm very curious about that. If you know, comment below if you had that experience. Oh, so you are also, you're my favorite stormtrooper. You're a member of the 501st. Every single, even though I know you do not work at Disneyland, every single time I go to Galaxy's Edge and I see a stormtrooper, I think it's you first. Every single time.
I do that. Like you said, being a 501st member, you know, I get to interact with people who dress up in stormtrooper costumes and things like that all the time. But even going into Galaxy's Edge and seeing the stormtroopers there, I'm like, hey, those are my brothers, you know, like just, it, that's just really cool, you know, and, but getting to suit up, I haven't had an opportunity to suit up much during quarantine, except for a couple of like videos that I've done for like birthday greetings or something like that. But,
You should do a cameo.
Cameo. Ooh, yeah, start charging people. Yeah. Make some money on the side. Some credits. It's not a bad idea. I love the stormtroopers. I love when they have fun with it. You get like a really good interaction with the stormtroopers when they're having fun.
It's funny to me that all the nicest people I know are in the 501st as villains.
Well,
like really nice people.
Well, we coined the phrase "we're bad guys doing good." That's kind of our tagline. And I don't know, when I was 7 years old, seeing Star Wars for the very first time, and the stormtroopers burst through the Tantive IV, like I just remember being like, wow, they're really cool. I want to do that.
And then when I saw the one bang his head, I was like, that's me. So could you let everyone know what the 501st is?
Yeah, absolutely. The 501st Legion is a nonprofit organization. We are recognized by Lucasfilm and Disney as the largest Star Wars fan costuming group. We are in 63 different countries. We have close to 14,000 active members all over the world. And we do things like hospital visits for children. We partner up with Make-A-Wish a lot for events. We do marketing events. One of the last troops I got to do was the Hollywood Christmas Parade last year.
Yeah.
Because we haven't been able to troop much recently. Nope. But we, and it's a focus on all of the bad guys in the Star Wars universe. So 501st, you know, 501st in canon is known as like Vader's fist, the Vader's like right hand, you know, legion that he uses, and actually get, are used in episode 3. Like, so when you see Anakin attacking the Jedi temple, he's got the 501st with him. So, you know, it's cool that we're canon.
And it's not just stormtroopers. It's all sorts.
Sorts of bad guys. Yeah, that we've got this, all the different Sith Lords. We've got bounty hunters like Boba Fett. Technically, if you were to do like a clone trooper armor, you can technically dual enroll into our sister organization, the Rebel Legion, because the clones were good and then they were bad. Spoilers. but like that costume allows you to dual enroll. We have, you know, other costumes like Jawas and Tusken Raiders and even newer ones like the Mandalorian.
You know, ooh.
You can make a Mando. And the only rules are you have to be at least 18. You have to have a movie-accurate costume, and you have to troop at least once a year. So we just completed our census to say, like, hey, yeah, I'm troop-worthy.
And I know that the costume, yeah, it has, like, it's very helpful, too. I think a lot of details are provided about, like, okay, you need to have this, your armor look like this, this, and this. This needs to be here. This needs to be here. So you're not just, like, in the dark watching a movie, like, trying to figure it out.
Absolutely, absolutely. With technology the way it is and how much Lucas archived, there's a wealth of information out there. So we are able to make like painstaking detail on a lot of these costumes. You know, if our listeners have watched the last two episodes of The Mandalorian season one, so chapter 7 and chapter 8, there's a scene where there are like 40 plus stormtroopers. And in the special features of the Disney Gallery, they talk about it, that those were a lot of our guys, because our suits, we hold them to such a high standard that Lucasfilm can just call us up and be like, you got any troopers? Yeah, let's do this, you know?
I just love, yeah, anytime that you see a parade, basically anytime you see a stormtrooper outside Disneyland, an organized group, it's probably the 501st. And now even in the movies and TV shows, it's probably the 501st. And it's men and women, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen female stormtroopers.
Oh, there's so many of them, yeah. The armor is built, like a lot of the kits that we have and builders that we have, you can buy a kit that can be cut and sized to fit you, so then it looks proportionate.
So yeah, if you're interested, look up 501st. They're very lovely, nice. Everyone I've met is very nice. So if you need a little, I mean, now it's probably not as active as you were saying, but in the future.
In the future. Oh, yeah. Always, you know, now, right now is the time to be building a suit, because, you know, for a lot of people that are stuck at home, I've got a friend who is one of our Darth Vaders. He's working on a Chewbacca right now because he's got a lot of extra time on his hands and that's a lot of hair. So he's working on that.
So speaking of Chewbacca, this is not a good transition. Galaxy's Edge. Chewbacca's in Galaxy's Edge.
He is.
So that is the transition.
He's one of those great meet and greets where, like, kind of like people are familiar with, like, when Loki or Thor were roaming, he has sort of a roaming set. He can just kind of go wherever he likes. And the sun has already set, or it's during the day. You can find Chewie pretty much anywhere on the western side of Galaxy's Edge. There is like a line that he's not supposed to cross. Yeah, the resistance side.
Let the Wookiee win is a special password that I haven't gotten to use yet.
I haven't either.
Yeah. They only tell children. So let's start with, okay, so this is a fact I just found that's general about the land. Most of the materials are pre-1980 that were used in the park because they wanted to achieve the correct look, and they wanted to make it look actually like, even though it's mostly based off of 7, 8, 9, they tried to visually make it look like 4, 5, and 6. So I thought that was interesting.
Correct. They talked about that a little bit in the Disney props. Not the prop circle. The Imagineer story. The prop guy that was looking for all the different things to just have in the atmosphere was pretty cool. And yeah, I feel like what they were going for, they definitely accomplished that in making you feel like you're just on a Star Wars planet.
It's your first step into a larger world.
Ooh, nice.
So 6,700 construction workers and artisans brought the land to life. And let's start with the most important aspect of Galaxy's Edge, the blue milk.
Ooh. I was waiting for that. How many 1313 episodes have mentioned the blue milk?
At least 80%.
I do have my blue milk. When they were doing those AP order, like mobile order buttons, I made a special order just for the blue milk. I was like, gotta get my button.
Yeah, they have like the green. So there's a blue milk stall. You can get blue milk only at the stall or in Oga's, but it is kind of a different blue milk.
It is different.
I'll get into that in Oga's because I am the connoisseur. It is my wine. You can get in Disneyland, it's just non-alcoholic blue and green. And I think they have a green with hot sauce in it, which is not for my palate, but a lot of people seem to like it.
I don't. Was that Orlando only, or no? I think it was, you're right.
Only like a month or two before the shut down, so that's, it wasn't right around very long.
Because yeah. I remember the it was like a purple hot chocolate that they were offering at Ronto's, and that was like a season, and then it was gone. But it was good.
I just like the regular blue milk. It is dragon fruit, I believe. You can find the recipes online. So it's a lot of oil to make it that consistency, and dragon fruit, and a lot of sugar. So and
it's
the green
real good
milk
though.
Is so good. The green milk has more of an earthy taste, and I forget what makes that, but Most people prefer blue, but the people who love green really like green. Mm-hmm. So it's just, if you are more, if, okay, this is how I tend to think of it. I'm curious to test this out. If you need sugar in your tea, you'll probably like blue milk. If you like tea without any sugar in it, you just like the taste of the tea, you'll probably like green milk.
That's a good comparison. That's a good comparison. The blue one's definitely sweeter. The green one's not bitter, but definitely a little bit more tart.
Like an Earl Grey tea, like an earthy tea almost. So if anyone can confirm this, I'm curious. I should get this test together. Okay, so now let's move on to your expertise, Smuggler's Run.
Smuggler's Run. Gosh. You know, it's a good attraction. No, do you have any fun facts for it?
So my only two I have, which I just learned, one I knew already, what I learned today, is frozen in carbonite near the exit. I've never seen that. It's like a little tentacle, like a R-A-T-H-E-R, rather.
Yes, it is there. You don't, depending on which way you exit from, which port you're coming out of, you may not see it because it's only during, like, in one wing. But yeah, that thing it's frozen in carbonite.
And then also there is a bathroom underneath Hondo. And if you ask a cast member, I think it's underneath or behind, you can hear Hondo talking from the bathroom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an official bathroom.
I know where you're talking, like where it would be.
Yeah, there's also a bathroom like that in Orlando. What's that one? The Avatar Flight of Passage. But that one's actually in the line. You can see it. This one, you have to ask a cast member. And it's not a fancy bathroom at all. And it's just, and the person I know who used it says you just hear Hondo talking like he's over your shoulder.
That makes sense. That makes sense. they probably have to have it there for you know, legal reasons or something like that.
I think they assume the lines are all going to be like 3 hours long. So you need a toilet in there. I've never been in the line longer than an hour. Mm-hmm. Even opening. I was there the third day it was open and it was still 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the only time I willingly went into the line for longer than an hour was when they opened up the extended queue and I wanted to scan all the crates. So I was like, I just want to take my time through here.
Yeah, we'll get to the play app, but I love the play app. It's the best. It makes the line so much more fun in Rise and in Smuggler's Run.
Smuggler's, it definitely has a lot of Easter eggs. Like in the queue, you can find and on board the ship of the Falcon while you're still waiting to board, you find a lot of different like porg nests. There's a lot of references to just Star Wars lore, like in the garage area of the attraction. Like you see the Sabacc deck, like table where someone was playing Sabacc. You're seeing other helmets and things like that. One of my favorites is where it looks like a biker scout helmet was like turned upside down and used as almost like a oil filter. And then there's a hidden Mickey in Star Tours in the queue where R2 is, you see R2 silhouette and then his like sensor rotates and then it creates a hidden Mickey. There's a hidden Porg in the top right hand corner of like the queue where like the lights are flickering every now and then. It's like he bit some electronics or something like that and then you just see the flash of the Porg.
Oh, gotta love a good Porg. I like the line because you can see the top of the Millennium Falcon. I wish you could go in the Millennium Falcon, but I guess theoretically you are. But like, I also don't like that. I wish almost it could be a set. I know they won't do this. This is just my dream. A separate experience where like the flight area, you know, like that's a separate area. And then if you're a gunner, you sit by yourself and it feels like you're just in that little side thing by yourself.
I mean, For what they were able to accomplish and for how many people they're able to move through this queue and still it be the attraction that it is, yes, like, yeah, we're all just in that little pod, but I agree with you. If there's some kind of, like, extra thing where only the pilots are in the actual cockpit and you've got, you know, you could have the engineers, like, in that little area where, you know, they're down there fixing the hyperdrive or something like that. And then, yeah, the gunner's like climbing up something and sitting in something that like rotates. That, ooh,
So what are some of your tips for you? I'm assuming you've done everything, but you're probably mostly a pilot.
When I'm by myself, I'll hop in the single rider's line oftentimes if I'm just on a day where like I just want to ride it a bunch of times. And usually when you do single riders, you're pretty much only going to get engineer. There's been a couple of times where a cast member has just noticed that I've been hopping back in line every 10 minutes. And they've just like looked at the group that's oncoming and been like, no, you can be pilot. And, I never expect that, but I'm always grateful for it. I love pilot. Absolutely love it. Engineer is probably my second favorite.
And gunner last.
Gunner last only. I mean, there is a way to make gunner a little bit more challenging where you have the manual instead of the automatic targeting. So that's like a fun challenge. But you get whipped around a little bit more. Kind of like Indiana Jones. You want to ride in the back if you want to get whipped around a little bit more. It's the same thing with Smuggler's Run in the cabin. Like the engineer gets the bumpiest ride.
And that's when I see them put like a 5-year-old in the pilot seat.
Because it's going to go everywhere.
And then like their grandma's next to them. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be terrible.
Or, it's also fun when you have a full group, and it's times like those where, I offer, I'd be like, look, I've done this 100 times. Do you want to pilot? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, I will pilot so that, we're going to have a fun time. And they're like, yeah, sure. Go for it. Like, all right, cool.
Do you prefer left and right pilot? Do you prefer our up and down, Han or Chewbacca?
For my first experience, I chose right so that I could go to hyperspace. I wanted to be able to punch it. I prefer left as it is the more challenging of the two. And most, usually when I'm with a group, I'm like, you want to go light speed. I let them do that, which is also the up and down. I don't mind doing left and right.
Yeah, I prefer actually the right, because it's easier. That's why I like it. The only problem is it's the opposite of what you expect.
It's inverted,
It's flight controls. Yeah, so if you're used to that, it's different. But it's like if you push forward, that's up and down. Or no, is it the other way?
If you're pushing forward, you're going down. If you're pulling back, you're pulling up.
Yes, yes, yes. See, I even got it wrong just talking about it right now. And yeah, it's just there's not as many things up and down as left and right.
Correct. And if you have two pilots that are working very well together, correct. The left pilot is sort of dodging and navigating through things, and the right pilot, they move up and down just to make sure you knock out the TIE fighters or don't hit something on the ground.
And get you in position. Yeah.
Exactly. Or if you get super lucky, there's been a couple of times where I've been the only one in the cabin. And everything goes automatic. The controls, the computer is firing for you. The engineers are like fixing things automatically. And then you're either in the left or the right cockpit for pilot. But there was one time where the cast member activated the other switch for me. So I was leaning over and I was piloting both sides, and that was such a fun experience. It was so much fun.
And that's it. If you have a lot of anxiety about the ride, if you just don't touch anything, it will do it automatically.
Correct. We've tried every different combination of like, okay, no one touch a thing, and it pretty much gets you back there. And then we've done it where we're like, okay, we're gonna crash this thing. We're just gonna go to town. And we got it down to like 4%. But we were told that the Falcon always has to return to Batuu. That's part of the story. There's no way to crash it all the way.
And then when you leave, there's like red sirens going off. And lights. Yeah.
And if the cast member is having fun, the inhabitant will be like, oh, what are you trying to do? Get us killed.
I will say for me, I don't know if this is for you, the single most challenging aspect I've ever had to deal with was pushing that button to brake.
Ooh, the brake. I will say the timing on it, like by the time you hear Hondo saying hit the brake, it's almost too late. And not every console, I've seen it where the console button like didn't light up, that big red button. Out of habit, I've just gotten used to telling people like, hey, in a moment, you're going to want to hit that big button. I'll just say when.
Yeah. Make sure before you sit down, if you've never been on it before, locate that button before you even start. Because, yeah, mine, a lot of times it hasn't flashed. And you do almost have to hit it right before. Like, if you hit it on time, it's kind of too late.
Correct. Yeah, left pilot, it makes all the difference if you don't want to crash.
Yes, because it hurts. And you want to get all that coaxium. You want to get the 2 coaxium. You can't get more than 2, right?
That's the Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster myth and the legend of that 3rd coaxium that I've gotten confirmation, quote, end quote, that there was a 3rd coaxium during Castmember preview. But that was it.
So if someone says they had 3 or 4, they're lying.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
They originally were supposed to have different missions, or they were going to change it depending on the movie. And then I heard, because the Solo story didn't do very well, they didn't, because they were supposed to change them to match. They actually currently kind of match that movie. And they were supposed to update them with new scenes, and that just never happened. Hopefully that will eventually.
Yeah, the new scenes didn't happen. They did update the scoring on how, like, you can see what score you earned on the screen. They did implement the Wookiee mode.
We're going to talk about Wookiee mode.
That you can activate. But yeah, no, there were no other, like, alternate missions at this point. But we were, you know, one of the things that they talked about.
So tell, Wookiee mode, so that's, you have to do certain things, and it's like an alternate kind of version of the game. So what are some of the alternate things people can do if they've gone on it a bunch and they want to try something new?
So Wookiee, so during the attraction, or during the duration of the mission, Hondo has hired you to pick up this coaxium in exchange for you just piloting the Falcon. And he's constantly, like, barking orders at you, like, hey, you know, don't forget to break, or hey, take out those TIE fighters, they're not going to take it themselves out, you know, and or hey, you should go to light speed. And so that's the mission. The Wookiee mode can be unlocked, but it requires all 6 people in the cockpit to activate a certain button before the cast member activates the attraction. And if you successfully unlock it at the beginning, you hear Chewbacca just screaming. And then anytime Hondo would have said something, it's now you have Chewbacca just screaming at you as a Wookiee. And that, so that the first time unlocking that with friends, it was just for a moment, like, I forgot that I was with other people. I was just like, I'm left pilot and Chewbacca's talking to me. This is so great. I'm in Star Wars.
I'm Han Solo.
Exactly.
And isn't that what we all want, to be Han Solo?
I don't know anyone who wouldn't.
No.
Heck of a guy. There's also like the alternates where, like, if you get the asteroids, or if you are trying to get the 2nd coaxium but fail to unhook it while, you know, trying to take out all 4 of the latches, that like swings you across the ground, and so, like, you get a different, like, effect.
I know the asteroids, isn't that if you do a bad job you get the asteroid field? That's what I've heard.
I've heard mixed stories. I've heard that it's if you do really, really well, like close to 100%. I've heard that it has something to do with the load time, like, oh, this we need a little bit more time before we can offboard or unload this crew. But I've not been able to get any kind of confirmation on that.
The times I've experienced it, the piloting was very poor.
So it's like an A for effort. Here's a gold star. The only times I've like consciously been like, okay, we're gonna get it, is because we're at like 100%, and then there it is. That's the only time I've like. Otherwise, it's just been like, I felt like it was just random.
So I noticed with my points, a lot of people, when they get off the ride, you don't get your credits. I've noticed when you go back, you'll get your credits sometimes from the previous time, even if it's like months later.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, there. This is a good, like, tip or trick when if you do have the Play app and you do have it. What's recommended is that you have it open while you're on the attraction, because there is a essentially a Bluetooth reader that figures out your score. And then what I've noticed is on times where I've left the cockpit, like the second the hatch door opens and sort of like rushed on my way, I won't get my score right away. And so then, yeah, if I like return and then like the Bluetooth recognizes, oh, hey, you did this thing, I'll then get the points awarded then or the credits. I've noticed that if you sort of hang back in the cockpit for a second, and then what I do within the Play app, when I've launched the data pad, I sort of cycle between the different pages. So I'll like click on my profile and then I'll click on the map, I'll click on the profile while I'm walking like through the hallways of the exit. And then sometimes that will like sort of push the rewards as well.
So yeah, make sure you're all registered for that before you even go into the land, because that's such a fun app to have. But yeah, I've noticed so next time I go, I'm just going to hang back, because I always like my points don't show up till the next time. And then I've noticed if you have it open too, Honda will be like, oh, hey, welcome back.
Correct. That's another little Easter egg. Yeah, if you have it on and the timing is right, by the time you get to like that very last showroom with the screen, he'll be like, oh, you've been here before. Then like you survived, you know?
What are you doing here? I do notice another tip. Cast members tend to give out the first two people in line get pilot, the second two people get gunner, the last two get engineer. So I've kind of positioned myself where I've let people go in front of me so I can make sure. And then always like something throws it off. But sometimes I've gotten it where I'm the first two people and then I get to be the pilot.
You can also ask, like I've been like, hey, I don't mind waiting another round if I need to, but I'd really like to do pilot. Or like I've said, a lot of times I'll close down the park with like one final run on Smuggler's Run and there's no one else anyway. So they just, here you go.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Just hop on.
Do you have any final tips for, is there anything we didn't cover?
For Smuggler's Run?
Yeah.
What I would say is like, if you've never been on it before, actually pay attention to what Hondo is saying during the pre-show stuff. So he's got his like monologue where you could see the animatronic, but like right before you actually board or enter the cockpit, there's that smaller little screen. And he's basically saying, okay, pilots, your job is to line up behind the shipment, and you know, gunners, take out enemies and then like shoot the crates or whatever, and the engineers fix anything if they break it. And it also shows on your little your job description card that they hand you like what it is that you're specifically doing in that role. But I noticed people that watch what Hondo is doing or what is saying, I'll then hear someone who's never been on it being like, remember, we're supposed to do this now, or we're supposed to do this now. And then you guys feel like as a unit, you're able to work together a little bit better.
So yes, follow directions, listen to what Hondo tells you. And don't be a jerk. And like, unless you have agreed with everybody that you're going to crash, don't do it on purpose.
Oh,
unless
absolutely.
Everyone's okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it is kind of painful. So let's move on to Rise of the Resistance. I don't have tips for this per se. It's kind of like you get on or you don't. Like you have to go in. I'm hoping – so in Florida, what they're doing right now is now they have it used to be like right when park opened, you would get a reservation. Now in Florida, they're doing different times, which I like that better. So you can book them at 8 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock, 6, so on and so forth. So that way you don't have to wake up early and get to the parks in the morning and wait all day. I'm hoping they do that in Disneyland eventually.
It was something that they were talking about before the closure, was that, yeah, that there would be different times so that, yeah, because it definitely was frustrating for people that, you know, don't live 10 minutes from the parks like I do to get there super, super early in the morning and like security's being, you know, taking a little bit longer and like just like there was one time where I literally scanned my pass at the gate, opened up the app and hit confirm, and like I got like boarding group 80, like
ooh,
like which was cutting it close, but they ended up boarding that day. But that's kind of, yeah, it's making sure that you have the app up to date, you know, that everyone that's in your group is on your app. That's one thing that I think they didn't really like explain very well at the beginning, was like, if let's say you and I were creating a boarding group and we had like 10 people, only one of us should actually confirm the boarding group. Otherwise it would split us into different reservations. And that was something that like I always tell people, is like, we can all have each other on each other's passes. And then like whoever gets through first, only have that person confirm.
Yes. Yeah, make sure you're all sitting really close. You're in good communication. If the park opens at 8, you don't even have to be there till 7:59. But for peace of mind, maybe make sure you're there by like 7:45. And keep in mind, it does take like – it can take an hour from parking to getting inside the park. It usually it takes like 20 minutes, but it just depends.
Well, and that's why it's great that they're moving to like those multiple times, because let's say you don't make it in time first thing in the morning, but now you're like, well, I'm already here, I might as well start riding attractions. But then you have that extra opportunity to try again,
and they try to tempt you. When I went, I noticed they opened all the rides at like, so the park opened at 9, all the rides were open by like 8:50, and people were going to that. I'm like, no, you fools. They're distracting you.
Don't do it.
Yeah, just figure out where the good Wi-Fi spots are. Have your app updated on your phone, ready to go. Have everyone scanned in. The ride itself, it's very overwhelming the first time. It's very overwhelming the second time. Not so overwhelming the third time. That's when you start to enjoy it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's visually so much going on. Like, you're... I can't think of another attraction that comes close to how immersive this feels, you know, and without spoiling too much. I know there's a lot online now and a lot of people have talked about it already, but you know, there's literally a moment where you're like, wow, I'm in the middle of this. This is happening. I got to figure out what to do now.
I will say the trackless system, there's, because of it, some things are a little sparser than I would like, just because that's the trackless. I do think some people say that they don't think that trackless ride system is integrated well. I personally think it's very integrated very well. If you think of it like almost this is like you moving. If it's like you running, it feels very realistic. But yeah, like a droid might not move like that, but it feels like you're like going here, dodging left, right, hiding from the medicine droid or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's how the droid is piloting to get you through, you know, for them it's just a job, but yeah, they've been sort of reprogrammed to get you where you need to go, but you know, but and that's after you've already done all the other things that you have to go through. Like one of my favorite Easter eggs is in the hologram room with BB-8 and Rey. On the There's Rey and there's BB-8, and then there's like a screen where they're like talking about like the plans and things like that they're doing. When Rey is talking, what she is saying is being transcribed on the screen in real time in Arabesh, the Star Wars language. So, and I love that tiny little attention to detail that they have on there. Like, I can't read it, but I know what it is. I know that what she's saying.
You don't speak
fluent Arabesh? I don't.
Fake fan.
Fake fan.
I will say the part of the ride that every time I go on it makes me literally like a tear will come out is when Rey says, "Welcome to the cause."
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a resistance member. And I'm like, even though she's not like a character that like we've had for my whole life, she's just a recent character. It's still like, I don't know, it just felt like a big deal to me.
No, you're literally pulled into the middle of it, and you absolutely feel that. And it is a really cool feeling, and then getting rushed to the next scene, and yeah, it's...
I will say, as a general thing, this is something that drives me crazy. Don't lean against any wall, because things open where you don't expect them. And I've seen it happen so many times. Don't be a cool guy. And there's several parts where you should not lean against the wall. I won't spoil anything more. Just don't lean against walls.
Just don't lean. Yeah.
Just don't lean. You're a prisoner. Stand up. Be respectful.
The walls are going to shock you, you know.
Yeah, they're going to shock you. Things are just going to – you're going to miss things. Things are going to happen. I don't lean against walls in general because I'm a germaphobe. But I'm like – every single time, you know that one. If you've been on it, you know what I'm talking about. There's one part where I always see someone leaning right there and I'm like, they're going to fall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also on the ride, I've done an episode about Rise of the Resistance, so we won't get too much into it, but it's a different experience left and right. I haven't noticed beyond the two tracks more differences, except when things are broken down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, whether you're in the left or the right, really the main difference would be like which track you go up on in that main mm-hmm. scene with the AT-ATs.
You see a few more things close up if you go on the one that's facing the AT-AT
mm-hmm.
In the front as opposed to the side. I do prefer that one a little more because you see things closer. But they both have their difference. They're both things that I'm like, I like this a little better on this track versus this track.
I agree. Or like when you're on the bridge, either you see a little bit more of Hux or you see a little bit more of Kylo, depending on which yeah. side of the animatronic you're on.
Both are daddy, so. I will say I wish I could walk that ride because it does feel like rooms and there's like literally exit signs and there's places where like you can, you know, for emergency exits, but it just looks like a real building to me.
Oh, absolutely. I have a good friend whose dad worked on the attraction and she explained it to me that he's not like super big into Star Wars. To him, this is just a job, but like in those final days where like they were getting the showroom ready, like he just remembers like walking around in just utter shock and amazement of just being like, wow, this is unreal.
I haven't discovered a ton of Easter eggs on that ride. I'm sure there are more than I've noticed. There's a lot in the line, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's props and things from like some of the different, the movies. I have a friend in Orlando, for Batuu East, there's confirmation of a hidden Mickey towards the end of the attraction. And the spot that they described it to me, I have not seen it on Batuu West. So I think it might be different, or they just didn't put him in Batuu West and only put it on Batuu East. I don't know.
So now let's move on to something I know both you and I have, the metal Spira, which is the little metallic like coin thingy
yeah.
that you can buy. It's like their currency. So it's basically it's like a $100 gift card, although now I've heard you can put any amount. And then once you have it, you can put any amount you want on there. I've heard recently that you don't have to put $100 on there, but I don't know how true that is.
There's been so many like stories about like, because originally they were only going to be one run and then they sold out and then they were like, oh, we're not going to get a shipment of them anytime soon, and then they did get a shipment, and as far as I know, it's always been you have to load the 100. That could be different in Orlando, but I have my little thing was I'm at the parks so often that I use one as like my okay, I'm going to order a meal at Ronto's or I'm going to order something, you know, food related, because I can use it on anything at the park. So every 25 rides at Smuggler's Run, I pick up one of those little Golden Spira.
Kind of heavy for like a little, not heavy, it's not even a half a pound, but it's like this little gold thing. And yeah, it's just a gift card and you can use it anywhere in Disneyland or California Adventure. But it's super fun to use in Batuu because you can just pay for everything with like – it's a little credit thing. So it just makes it a little more immersive, in my opinion. If you want full immersion, I highly recommend getting them when they have them. And they're just a fun collector's item. I would dig for mine right now, but it's going to ruin the audio, but it's over here. But I used it pretty quickly because like every meal I bought anywhere in Disneyland, you just use it.
And another good tip for people who maybe have never been to Galaxy's Edge is like if you're thinking of doing the build your own droid or the build your own lightsaber, that's a, you know, the droid's $100, the lightsaber's $200. Like if you're gonna spend that money, might as well get a fun little souvenir out of it as well with the coin, because you get to keep the coin.
Gift with purchase.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really nifty little. It's not like cheap. It's a really nifty little thingy, whatever you call it, little galactic credit card.
I love it.
Next, let's talk about Savvy's Workshop. How many have you done Savvy's Workshop, and how many lightsabers do you have?
I'm not a lightsaber guy. It's the weirdest thing.
I'm a lightsaber girl.
I've been inside, so I've had the opportunity to be like the person that was watching someone else build, and I will say, it was such a fun experience. Like, even just being the observer.
So much fun.
Just the feeling that you get and the nostalgia. One of my favorite Easter eggs in Galaxy's Edge is in there. And I didn't know it was in there because no one ever, like, takes pictures or anything of it. But it's a very cool experience for sure.
If you go, there's different episodes where I really go into detail. But I will say the $200 for a lightsaber for me is for the show. It's not just for the lightsaber. It's for the whole experience. I have the elemental nature and protection and defense. And mostly I got two just because I love the experience so much. I wanted to do it again. And it can be, if you purchase a lightsaber, it's you and a guest. You get a really cool pin and you get your lightsaber. You can also buy random pieces outside of Savvy's. And then also you can buy different kyber crystals and change the color of your blade. And some people, they play with theirs. I don't play with mine. Mine are on a shelf and I can like touch it, turn it on. That's it. It's too expensive to play with. I have the playing ones. Those are the cheaper. Those are like the toy store or Toys R Us ones.
I do have the Kylo Ren saber, but only because that came. I recently acquired a Kylo Ren suit. So the saber came with it, but I don't have it like mounted anywhere yet. If there was a build your own blaster, like I know they would never do that just because of all the different things that have been going on in the last 20 years. But if there was a build your own blaster, like sign me up. I would feel so cool. Cause you see a little bit of that in some of the movies where they're like configuring a different weapon or something like that. I would do that too.
I'm a Jedi, so I need my lightsabers.
I get that.
But yeah, if you can afford it or if you can trick your friend into paying for it and you join them, highly recommend it. It's so fun. It's one of the few things where they're still really into it. So because a lot of Galaxy's Edge now, they just talk normal. It started out they all use like their special language, their special everything. And now it's just because people were confused. It's just kind of like I work in a theme park and I'm going to tell you that there's a burger on a menu.
Only half of the people say Bright Suns. But yeah, exactly. You're right. The workshop like – the main person, yeah, they're, you're like, wow, you're in this.
Yes, and do not laugh and do not make fun of it when you're in there, because the first time I did it, everyone took it seriously and it was great. The second time, this one guy kept making fun of it, and I'm like, you paid $200 to laugh at this? Like, this is a very sacred ritual, sir.
Yeah.
Next is Droid Depot, which we mentioned earlier. I do have two droids from Droid Depot.
The droids are pretty cool. I've watched friends build them.
It's a fun experience.
I like the customization. Just that whole room is a lot of fun. In general, there's just so many Easter eggs.
You get to use power tools, and they literally like put your droid in this thing and you watch it come to life. And I can't figure out how they do that, because they don't like flip a switch. They don't even touch it. They just put it in this little thing, and like the lights start going up. And it like just starts to come to life, and it does things I've never seen my droid do. Like, I haven't gotten it to do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's so cool that it's like, it's a whole birthing ceremony. So my facts for that are, one is pretty obvious. There's droid tracks all around the building. There's actually tracks all around Galaxy's Edge. And if you get lost, you can kind of figure out where you are based on the tracks. So if you see droid tracks, you're in the Droid Depot. I forget what the resistance area has.
There's the Gonk droids.
Oh, yes.
They have their little feet.
So it's different type of droids. That's kind of true for all of Disneyland. There's different footprints are very important at Disneyland. And one day I will do an episode about the different prints in the floor at Disneyland.
That's right, because over beyond Rise of the Resistance, as you're walking over towards like Critter Country, you see the little like animal footprints too.
And then also you were talking about Easter eggs. C-3PO's head can be spotted in the ceiling conveyor at Droid Depot. There's a gold C-3PO. So do you have any thoughts about Savvy's Workshop or Droid Depot before we move on?
Both very well thought out experiences. You know, they, even though I personally have not taken part in them, like I've helped other people get in line for them, or I've helped, you know, I've witnessed other people building them, and you know, them getting excited about, you know, picking out the different droid parts or deciding on which lightsaber they're going to get. Like, and then, yeah, the whole experience, it's worth the money. When people are like, $200, I'm like, it's not just for the saber. It's the whole experience and how you feel. It definitely worth it.
I would say Savvy's is the most magical thing I've experienced probably in any theme park. And then Droid Depot is pretty magical too. It's just Savvy's is it's a show. You're paying for like a dinner show almost.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing. And like just how they like make your saber, like, again, birth of a saber, that whole process is amazing. They play music at the right times. Like they really make it a cinema. You feel like you're in the movie.
It's kind of like the evolved form of the experience they have in Universal with the Ollivander's Wand Shop. Like, but only one person gets picked, whereas everyone in the room gets to participate. And you're just like, wow.
Yeah. It's, I cried. Both times I cried. And Jenny filmed it. So
it's a good. Oh, I definitely got emotional at the end when you hear a certain character's voice. Yep. And you're just like, oh, wow.
And then like as he like the person holds the different colors of the crystal, the ceiling light changes. Mm-hmm. It's just it's a show and I love it. So next is somewhere that has so much of my money. Doc Onder's Den of Iniquities, or Antiquities, that's a whole different store.
Antiquities.
Filled with Easter eggs.
Probably many Easter eggs.
The single most Easter egg-y thing in the park, or in the land, is. I would say it's probably that.
I'd say so. Other than Mission Breakout, how like there's
a
bajillion Easter eggs in that
that's
too.
That's true, but yeah.
Doc Onder's, I mean, Star Wars Easter eggs galore.
And one non-Star Wars Easter egg.
I don't think it's there anymore.
You don't?
The last few times that I went, because I had heard that they removed it, I didn't see it. So then I was like...
The Ark of the Covenant, right?
Yes, we're talking about the Ark. Yeah. We know.
So, because it's, you know, George Lucas, he also did, you know, Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And so there's supposedly an Ark of the Covenant, but you're saying it might not be there anymore. So I'm curious to see when it reopens in Disneyland or if the Florida one is reopened.
Because you had Spielberg and Lucas sort of buddy-buddying with, you know, Star Wars was Lucas. And then you see in Indiana Jones, you see the Club Obi-Wan reference in the queue. I kind of feel like it's the same thing, like Indy and Star Wars, like,
Well, in the R2-D2 hieroglyphics. And mm-hmm. So here are some of the Easter eggs you can find. There's 10 times more than what I'm going to say. These are just the ones I like a lot. So one that I thought was interesting that I think you pointed out to me the first time before the show even came out was the Mandalorian's helmet.
Correct. His helmet and his main rifle are both hanging behind Doc.
Which makes me think at some point he's going to lose that helmet. So I'm so curious to see where that story goes, that how did Doc get that helmet?
Correct. Like how did it end up on Batuu? Like you it makes you wonder about the timeline, because where we are in the timeline on Galaxy's Edge is between episodes 7 and 8. Or excuse me, sorry.
8 and 9.
8 and 9. 8 and 9. Which is years after
like 20 plus years.
Yeah, of where we are in the Mandalorian show. I am curious, like, are we going to see Mando on Batuu at some point?
Yeah, and is he going to, like, is he giving up being a Mandalorian and he gives up his helmet?
Does he retire?
Does he die? Does he get new armor and that's, like, his old armor? Like, there's so many. I just feel like that's too specific for Disney just to be like, oh, we're never going to address that. And maybe they might not, but I just feel like it's a hidden thing about the future of the show.
Yeah. Which you would feel like with everything they've been doing with Marvel and Lucasfilm, like you would think that it does have some sort of meaning somewhere.
And there's also a golden Gungan bust. So a golden Jar Jar Binks head. There's, like we said, an Ark of a Covenant. There's an Ewok headdress. There's a stuffed Wampa. This is something I just discovered today. I never really. So when you first walk in, there's like a painting. It's like a 3D painting sculpture, and it's depicting a Jedi battle. And this picture was inside Emperor Palpatine's office. Mm-hmm. So I guess he wasn't emperor at the time. In Coruscant, but it was one piece, and then we see it in four pieces.
Correct.
So that's a deep cut.
It is a deep cut. Yeah, kind of in the where the office was, there's like this one like hallway where a lot of scenes where Anakin and Palpatine are kind of just conversing. You do see that that piece.
There's a, and then there's a Tauntaun bust. Yep. So Tauntaun is the thing he cuts open and he sleeps inside. But there's so many heads of monsters that have tried to eat people on the wall. There's so many weapons. All the way from, like, in the original series to things that are, like, referenced in the animated series or just deep cut. So, really, if you go look it up, there's lots of websites that list them all. You'll find there's something for everybody, for every Star Wars fan.
And yeah, a lot of the merchandise, like you said, like, the Jedi holocrons that you can purchase, like, we don't see a lot of that in the movies. We see that in, like, Clone Wars and Rebels. Which is just like an additional thing that you can get for your kyber crystals.
I have literally holocrons is the next thing on my list. So it's so funny you brought that up. So I have the Jedi. So there's a Jedi and a Sith holocron. The Jedi one is kind of a turquoise color and it's a cube. The Sith one is like a pyramid, like a 3D pyramid. I know. So kyber crystals are these little crystals you can buy and they can go in your lightsaber or the holocron. In the lightsaber, it just changes the color of your lightsaber. But in the holocron, there's different voices attached. And I know if, like, you put a dark, like, a Sith one in the Jedi one, weird things happen, and vice versa. If you put one on top of the other, they, like, kind of fight each other.
Yeah, changes color a little bit, yeah.
And then something, I kind of had heard this, but I dove into it further today. So there's a red, green, purple, blue, clear, yellow, and black kyber crystals. The black you can't buy, it's just in some red. And a trick a lot of people did was they would hold them up and see what was in there, but they don't let you do that anymore. And then something I learned is that within each color, there's four separate crystals with different voices attached. So there's technically four
green.
Correct.
Yeah, like a Qui-Gon, a Yoda.
So I think I have doubles of one. They're all at my work. People think it's actually art, the holocron. Like this one lady thought it was like this really beautiful art piece. And I'm like, yeah, it's a Star Wars toy.
I bought it at Disneyland.
Oh, and then my last fact before we get into some more Easter eggs are, so you can purchase Leia's necklace from A New Hope at that shop. And the they use the same mold as the original necklace to make all of those necklaces. So what are your favorite Easter eggs in Doc Ondar's?
Oh, gosh. Well, the Ark of the Covenant was really cool. And it was... I was told that when the Great Movie Ride was closed, that they split the Ark of the Covenant prop that was in the Great Movie Ride in half.
Ah.
And so we have one half in our Doc Ondor's. That's how it was explained to me.
Ah, that makes sense because it looks kind of small.
Yeah. Like, and where it was sitting, like you could barely see it. I like a lot of the different helmets that are in there. Like there's some fighter pilot helmets, some stormtrooper helmets in there. I definitely love the Mando helmet that's in there. I just think that's cool. Sometimes just watching Doc Ondor, the animatronic, just kind of do his work, you're just like, wow. Like
that might be the best animatronic in the whole land, and it's just right there. And
yeah,
you can get like a
chilling.
Foot away from it.
Yeah.
And it like stands up and walks around,
mm-hmm.
and it makes weird noises. And sometimes if you have a really good cast member, they'll ask, like, when you're checking out and buying stuff, they'll be like, Doc, is it okay if I give it to them for this price, which is the price on the tag? And he'll go like,
yeah,
go, okay.
They time it really well.
Yeah.
It was all one other Easter egg I really like is the, like, baby Sarlacc that's in the little, like, fish tank. And you're just like, how is this thing going to get to be that really, really big thing that we see in Return of the Jedi? Like, this is crazy.
So my recommendation for Ogas would be make a reservation in as far advance as possible to guarantee when you get to go. Because they go – you can sometimes get same day, but it's not often. And then Rex is made using the same shell. So it's the same Rex from Star Tours, but they changed the insides. But the shell's the same. I didn't know that. And then so what are your two favorite things to get or one favorite thing to get at Ogas? What's your go-to?
The jet juice, which is essentially just a double of whiskey, is really great. There was a drink that they introduced like towards the end of last year. It was the, what was it called? I just called it the refresher because it had a different name in it.
It's a shower.
it had some really like cool, like bluish. It was a bluish drink, but then it had like these little like jelly sort of.
Oh, that's the carbon. Is that the carbon freeze? Because that's my favorite drink.
No, Carbon Freeze is different. Okay. This one was alcoholic.
Oh,
but
okay.
Maybe I never had the Carbon Freeze, so I'm wondering if they use the same like little jelly.
Yeah. So my two favorite are obviously the Blue Bantha Blue Milk and the Carbon Freeze. Yeah, the Carbon Freeze is like a blue drink with little jelly things at the bottom. So maybe that's just like the alcoholic version.
It could be
Carbon Freeze because it sounds like that.
It's very very refreshing. I keep using that word. It's very like a very tiki drink. It was really good.
All of them give me tummy aches, but it's a lot of sugar.
It is a lot of sugar.
So the blue milk in Oga's is more just a cold drink versus the blue milk at the stalls is a frosty, like a slushy more.
Correct.
I prefer the cold one because it's a little more watered down. The slushy
you like the one in Oga's, but the slushy one.
Slushy one. Oga's comes with a cookie, though.
It does come with the cookie.
Yeah. And, you know, and the cookie goes around the straw, so you can't beat that. It's not the best cookie, but it's a cookie.
It's a little dry, but, I mean, it's still good.
Yeah. And it has nuts, which is too natural for me. So, I'm not a big fan of the snacks, per se.
The Ronto bits or whatever. Yeah. Oga's bits or whatever.
It's really hit or miss. They have, wasabi balls in there. Like, they have some spicy. They have something that just tastes like fire. What are some of your favorite things to do in Oga's?
Sometimes, like, if I did a really good run on Smuggler's Run, I'd, you know, have a celebratory drink. Sometimes I'd just close down Oga's with a friend of mine. We'd, you know, play a game of Sabacc or something. I'd bring my Sabacc deck, and we'd play. And then at the end of the night, you know, Rex sort of just powers down, and then they don't power him back up. You're just like, well, he gone. It's time to go. No, yeah, just the atmosphere is a lot of fun. I like people watching in there because there's a lot of like newbies. It's like, you know, it's their first time. And I have friends that go to Disneyland all the time, and they've never done Oga's. Like, you know, because reservations are difficult to come by sometimes, but towards the end of before closure, they had sort of like a standby line. And so certain nights, like, I could literally just walk in because at the end of the night, they're just like, well, we'll just fill it and you'll be good to go.
And you can only get two drinks. And so I suggest if you go order everything you want up front, because basically I've noticed they don't come back multiple times. You order, they bring your drinks, and then they bring your check.
Yeah, and I typically do it that way as well, just because typically I'll order the jet juice as like a, you know, hey, I'm just going to down this real quick and then order something else with that. That is a really good trick to just order both.
Yeah, and then they don't limit you on snacks, so I'll get like a Carbon Freeze, the little chips things, the two drinks. I went with Jenny one time and she wouldn't drink anything, so I drank two more drinks. And I don't drink alcohol, so it was just sugar. I just had like not four sugary drinks.
very sugary, yeah.
And it was delightful, and I was just like, a little of this, a little of this. Yeah, it's a fun experience. I don't feel rushed, but like they do give you your check right away.
They do. There was only one time where I was seated where the cast member was like, hey, like, just want to check in. Like, we do want to try to, you know, free up this spot for, you know, more guests. And I was like, oh yeah, no problem.
You're like, do you know who I am? I'm the best pilot in the galaxy.
How many credits do you want?
We were talking actually before we were recording. There's a Sims Batuu, which is it's exactly the same layout as Batuu in, real world, but it's a Sims game, and you can go to Oga's, and they have every drink that they have in Oga's, and they have Rex. So shall we move on to the marketplace?
Marketplace is great. Get that chocolate popcorn. Ooh. The popcorn that they had when Galaxy's Edge opened, it's a little bit spicier. Like, it's good. But when they came out with the chocolate popcorn, it's like you're eating Cocoa Puffs. Like, they are so good. It's a similar texture, too. Like, it's so good.
So a really fun thing, if you don't want to spend money, which I've bought everything. So if you ever want to know what's fun to buy there, I probably bought it. The creature stall has a lot of little animatronics in there. They have the little, I don't know any of the creatures' names, the little fox that was in Last Jedi.
They have the fox?
Not the fox, or is it not in the last, the one with the three eyes? It's right in the front, right when you walk in, it's in a little cage.
Oh, the Lothcat.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was a fox. Yeah, Lafcat.
You are correct. They were primarily featured in the show Rebels, but what's been nice is seeing them in some of the live action as well.
They have the little frog dude. They have any creature. Obviously, they have Salacious B. Crumb. That's the one, like, you could not find that toy for a long time. Everyone was walking around with their little Salacious. I bought from the toy shop a Princess Leia and a Jabba, and I make them sit together on my desk at work. I love all the items basically that are sold in the marketplace are items that like you could really buy if you would. There's not like Mickey ears in there. It's like toys that look like they were made. You know, animals are supposed to be the real animals. The clothes are supposed to be real clothes. And the toy shop is called Toydarian, which is Watto's species. Watto's the little fly thingy in Phantom Menace. My favorite thing I've ever purchased from Galaxy's Edge besides like lightsaber was there's a little wooden box with a stormtrooper on it and it plays the Empire theme. And it's a little, like you turn it, it's like an old fashioned music box. Definitely recommend that. It's precious. It's adorable. So Ronto's, I've actually never eaten at Ronto's. The only one that sounds good to me is the breakfast one. I would get the breakfast one.
You have to be in the mood for the breakfast one because it's a lot of egg, but it is really good. Like, we got into the habit of getting our boarding party together for Rise, and then you're like, well, not everything is open right away. Let's go get breakfast Ronto. The vegetarian one is really good too, but my favorite is just the OG Ronto. It's so good. It's like sometimes I would make a special trip to Disneyland, like after work, be like, well, I haven't eaten yet. I'll go get a Ronto wrap.
I like Docking Bay 7. I like the noodle and the beef, the mm-hmm. tip-yip. Mm-hmm. And then I also like, or tip-yip is the chicken.
The indoor tip-yip is the chicken, yeah.
And yeah, it's whatever the beef one is. It's like the sub. They've changed all the names too. So like it has the, it's like Andorian tip-yip chicken.
more English friendly.
Yes.
I remember that controversy.
I love the Batuban. Oh yeah, that was, they officially had to change it. And I get it. Cause like if English isn't your first language and you're like, I just want chicken. And you're just saying this word Andorian tip-yip. So what are your favorite things to do in the first order area?
I like the first order little show that they've got going on, or like if the troopers are on patrol, I like that. Checking out the little like, what is it, the 709th outpost where they have like that little shop. There's a lot of cool little knickknacks in there, or you can even acquire, you know, a full suit of armor. You know, it's not cheap, but they have it there. You can order it.
I only go there for blue milk and then I leave. I'm like, I don't belong here.
In the first order, yeah.
And then I see Kylo Ren and then he comes up to me and I'm like, you're probably an 18-year-old kid. So my favorite area is probably the smugglers area. I love the Millennium Falcon. The Resistance area is fun and it's nice because you can kind of get – it's the biggest area.
Mm-hmm. It's so wider.
You can get away from people. And I like the stalls they have there because they have some really nice Resistance stuff. And it's not usually crowded. That's actually where I got my little spirit card was
the Resistance. That's right. Area. They were putting them there for a minute. I keep wanting to buy the Wookiee bag that's there.
Oh, yeah. I have it.
It's a good one.
I should give it to you. I never use it. I have so many things I never use.
I don't use bags. So yeah. Like
it's I have a satchel.
I have my Loungefly camera bag and like that's it.
It's your satchel. Indiana Jones has one.
It's true.
So I kind of breezed over those areas because I really want to get to the Play app because that's one of my favorite things. So Play app is free. It's different than the Disney app. And it's basically you get to experience a lot of things in the park. So you can scan things and you can collect items through the park. It's for lines. There's different games you can play. There's things, missions you can go on where like you have to jam the signals of a base and you have to like scramble it. It's super fun. It's definitely, I wouldn't recommend it for a first timer unless for the lines. It's fun when you start to get kind of bored of the park. It really creates a lot of fun things to do. And you're kind of an expert at it. So.
I would agree that, like, I would have people that would be like, wow, like, if you don't want to spend money, like, the only thing to do here is spend money or ride one ride. back when Rise wasn't open, and I'd be like, did you open up the app and like scan the crates or like go on any of the missions? And they were like, what? No. I was like, download this, the Play app, and or if you're in the Disneyland app, there's a link to where it'll then prompt you to go into the data pad area of the Play app. And it just, again, it just adds to that immersion. My only complaint is that they don't add more missions quick enough. Like, cause I just complete everything. And they've added a couple of things here and there since it launched back in last May. It's just the detail, seeing your little profile, you know, that's where you get your credits from when you go with Hondo on Smuggler's Run.
And you gain a reputation, so you either are Smuggler, Resistance, First Order, and you can make things happen in the land, like physical things. So my favorite thing is the steam coming from the Millennium Falcon, which you do with the Play app. What are some other things that you can do? Obviously, like, you can scan things, collect things, but this is the most visceral thing you can do with the Play app.
That one, yeah, the Millennium Falcon, having this, the steam come out of the exhaust, like, that one's kind of the more iconic one. Or, like, you can have the X-Wing or the A-Wing fighters, like sort of rev up. Same thing with Kylo Ren's ship. There's a couple of other things, like, if like you said, like, jamming a signal of, like, a communications tower, you can hear it, like, sort of malfunction. Or if
you can, yeah, hear noises happening, and mm-hmm. yeah.
Or if you hack one of the droids nearby, it'll, like, do something.
Oh, yeah, they have all sorts of fun thing, like, yeah, it's just, it's a, you could just have trips and just do that, and just like you scan cargo boxes and you can see what's in them, and there's like a whole Mandalorian one, there's like jackets, and it's, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much, but there's so many fun things you can do with it. I highly recommend it, and every time I use it, I always look at everyone around me and I go, I made that happen.
No, exactly. Well, they're also, when the app first launched, there's a lot of the Star Wars language, the Arabesh, kind of throughout the land, and the way that you had to do it is you had to find each individual character and enter it in, and then it would translate for you. Now there's a feature in the app where it's essentially, you can essentially scan, kind of like the Google Translate feature, where you can scan what you're seeing and it will translate it for you, which
is much easier.
Much easier.
Because sometimes you'd be like, hey, wait, is this this letter or this letter?
Yeah. This one has a curve.
And it's things as simple as like trash can, like on the wall. Like mm-hmm. there's some fun things, but some things it's just like trash can. So I want to kind of end with character meet and greets. I've not had a bad one.
Never have I had a bad one. Like, you can always tell, like, if you're in a very large crowd, like the troopers, for example, or like Vi, for example, or even Ray, like, they're gonna try to play more towards the younger audience. So if there is a large crowd of people, which I totally respect that, and like, hey, this is part of the magic, you know, make it happen. But yeah, if you happen to be roaming around, I've had amazing times with Chewbacca, incredible times with the Stormtroopers. I just love how they're given a lot of freedom.
Yeah. I will say my tip. Now, this has worked for me. Basically, if you kind of ignore them a little bit and act like you're there and you're available but not too available, they will come up to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're like, Stormtrooper, come over here. Like, sometimes they'll play into it, but I know as a stormtrooper at conventions and stuff like that, sometimes it just feels weird being summoned like a dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like, hey, if you want to interact, like, let's go. Let's have some fun. But, like, you know, I'm also a human. I'm not a droid under here.
I've had, like, Vi just come up to me. She has – so basically Vi tells you a secret code and you're supposed to say it, and, like, that leads you to Chewbacca. She's never told me, but I've talked to her. Ray came up to me one time and said, I love your creatures, because I had little butterflies in my hair.
Love that.
Chewbacca gave me a hug. I will say the hardest one to meet is R2-D2.
Yes, because he's very rarely out.
And then when he is, very popular.
Then, like, the internet goes crazy. He's like, R2's out.
I will say the best experience ever was, it was near Christmas, and there was a Life Day celebration. That was not official. It was just a bunch of people gathered and they wrote carols and sang Life Day songs. And Chewbacca came up and started like, wah, wah,
along with everybody. You guys were recording when that was happening.
Yeah. We were literally standing just like, we were recording the podcast. I went somewhere quiet to record the podcast. And that was before Rise of the Resistance opened. So that was a really quiet area. And all of a sudden these people start gathering with these globes. That's where
the large crowd was. Yeah.
Like we just happened to be there.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
It was so magical. So yeah, experience, just go to Galaxy's Edge and just hang out and fun things will happen and just have a good open attitude and play along. Kylo Ren got in my face one time because Allison was just like Princess Leia and he was like, you know, they have their pre-recorded sayings and he just got in my face because he saw me recording and I was just like, oh, hello, sir. And then yeah, stormtroopers are always fun, but Chewbacca is the best. Let's be honest.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Chewbacca's always the best.
You can't go to Galaxy's Edge and not hang out with Chewie.
What are your final thoughts on Galaxy's Edge?
It's a remarkable, you know, land. There are half the time I go, I forget that I'm in Disneyland, you know, because there's very little sight lines out when you're looking outside of it where you're like, oh, that's I'm on Earth or I'm at Disney. Like, they did such a good job in the immersion. There's been so many fun experiences there. I love, you know, whether you're a casual Star Wars fan or obsessed with Star Wars fan, like, there is some, you'll get something out of it for sure.
Like, is it perfect? No. Are there things that they were going to have that would have made it better? Yes. Like, they have stages everywhere. And how great would it be if all of a sudden there was a lightsaber battle or if you saw Vi running across and stormtroopers chasing after her? Obviously, like, that's definitely not going to happen now because they have less money. But it's still, you can really get a good kick out of it. It's a fun land.
Absolutely. Like, what they've been able to accomplish, you know, seeing just the very beginning from the announcement to actually getting to go and then seeing the things that they've improved upon, like with the little droid refresher carts, like that, you know, that wasn't there at launch. Those little things, it's little nuances like that. You're just like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah. Like, I've complained about it. I've like dissected some things, but overall I really enjoy it and I'm a fan and it's really fun to be there. So where can everyone find you if they want more Cameron and more Star Wars?
Oh man, all the stormtrooper stuff. When I was going to the parks, my Instagram is just my, Sir Keggy. So SirKeggy. That's where I'm the most, up to date. Since I can't go to Batuu, I make, you know, little stormtrooper videos at home.
You do. You have like a TikTok or your Instagram?
I do have the TikTok. I haven't been updating it much recently, but it's the same handle, Sir Keggy. But you know, just something fun to do.
You're also a great Disney bounder, so if you're a Disney bounding fan, go see Cameron. He's very supportive. and you'll see his stormtroopers. If you're both a fan of stormtroopers and Disney bounding, I found an Instagram for you.
That is a good selling point.
Thank you so much for being on. I'm sure we'll think of more stuff later. Like, you'll probably text me in an hour and be like, oh, we forgot to talk about this, but I think we got most of it.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. Well, I will say a little plug because my friend actually painted it. On top of Docking Bay 7, there's the little shuttle with the three little crates. That's my favorite Easter egg in the entire land, is there's a crate that says 77 on it and then 80 and 83 to represent the three original theatrical release dates for the movies. And my friend personally painted that. So I was like, that's so cool. And you can see it from Thunder Mountain.
I felt like such a cool person. Not that this would be cool to anyone else. I saw that and no one had to explain it to me. I knew. I'm like, oh, those are the years the movies came out.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, yep.
You know.
Please visit our website at www.1313harborthepodcast.com. You can email questions and episode requests to 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for listening, and to all who come to this happy podcast,
welcome.